Good afternoon and good evening. This is the PPSAI Working Group call on the 4th of August, 2015. On the call today, we have Holly Raich, Steve Metellus, Val Sherman, Volker Greeman, Graham Bunton, Frank Michalik, Sarah Bakke, Don Blumenthal, Sarah Wild, Stephanie Perrin, Terry Summey, Todd Williams, Susan Calabucci, David Heasley, Osvaldo Nuova, Roger Carney, Griffin Barnett, McKaylee Nyland, and Darcy Southwell. I show apologies from Alex Deacon, Susan Prosser, James Gannon, James Fidel, Dick Leaning, Paul McGrady, and Marika Koning. From staff, we have Amy Bivens, Mary Wong, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Steve.
Thanks and welcome, everyone. we do have a number of apologies today, but we have a good core group here, so hopefully we can make some progress. Let me just first ask if anyone wishes to update their statement of interest. Okay, hearing none. Starting to get some echo here, I think. Okay, it's gone. We have an agenda, that Mary circulated yesterday. I don't see it on the screen at the moment, but it starts with status updates from the sub-teams. Then we have some discussion about the whole working group on the public comment review tool, part one, and then administration issues about the face-to-face meeting, possible face-to-face meeting, and about the duration of our calls. So why don't we, unless there's other agenda items that people wish to raise, I'm not seeing the agenda in the right-hand pod, but maybe that's just me. But I've got it here anyway, so I think I've accurately stated it. So we'll start with reports from the sub-teams. I think last call, although I was not able to be on the call, I think we had a report from sub-team 1.3.2. I see Lindsay is on the call, and I don't know. I know Alex was not able to join. So, Lindsay, I don't know if you had anything else that you wish to report in terms of the status on 1.3.2 sub-team. Okay, if not, then why don't we go on to 1.3.3, which I think was scheduled to report here. We've got a few members of a couple of members of that sub-team, and I think we have a document here. So who is going to present this document that's on the screen now, from sub-team for section 1.3.3? I know Terry's on the call. Stephanie's on the call.
Okay. This is Mary. There's two documents from this sub-team because this first report is divided into two parts because of the number of comments. I think Terry's going to go first, followed by Lindsay, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, hi, this is Lindsay. I think that's right, Mary.
Okay, great. And Terry, go ahead.
Okay, this is Terry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So I wasn't sure about the formatting on this, so I hope it's acceptable, but I just went through and the first 39 responses and broke them out into basically affirmative or negative response. 11 of the responses were in support of prohibiting domain names associated with commercial activities. And then 27 were not in support. So basically the majority is not in support of the proposal. I put in comments that I thought that the working group should look at and discuss. Many of the comments asked questions about what type of website would be included in this definition, when we came to a definition, basically there were concerns about advertising sites or those sites that would provide affiliate links. Would they be included in this? Some recommended putting in possibly financial information, basically if a site sold, you know, X number of dollars, that they would be excluded. If they went over that, you know, they'd have to be included and excluded from privacy proxy. So these are, you know, and I listed them all there, but these are the types of comments that were received. Then in the, you know, question two kind of, you know, bled into one where, you know, if, you know, should we put together a definition, do we need to do that? And I started to go through that also because it, you know, some of the responses there said, you know, I don't agree with this, so we don't need a definition, or I do agree with this, and I think that we should consider X, Y, Z. So I'm not, that's where I got at this point. So if, you know, anyone has any questions or, you know, thinks this should be done a different way, you know, please let me know. But that's just how I approached it.
Great. Thank you, Terry. That's a very good summary. I have one question, and let me just see if there's anybody else that has a question here about Terry's presentation. Okay, my question, and this is Steve, is just, were these just the first 39 comments that were in the that were sent to the subgroup, or was 1 through 39? Was it ordered in some other way? And I'm just trying to understand what was the slice that you were looking at.
Well, in the sorted document that Mary sent out that put together all the comments, I did the first 39 responses, and then Lindsay did 43. I think it was 85 responses.
Okay, great. So this was just the order in which they appeared in that document.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Again, any questions for Terry at this point? If not, Lindsay, we're ready for your report.
Okay, thanks. Hi, this is Lindsay. So I took the question one for 1.3.3. I took the remaining comments from 40 to 87. And just kind of went through those. I did it slightly differently. I put mine in a table and just condensed the comments, whether it was they were yes in favor or no, they were not, gave the reason, who it was, whether it was individual or company, and if they had any sort of extra comments that didn't seem to fit with the question. So my document is slightly longer, I think, than Terry's. But basically, in summary, there were 47 comments I looked at. Only four of those comments said that they were in favour, that those registrants using financial transactions or commercial activities should be prohibited from using privacy and proxy services. Most of the comments were actively against making any distinction between commercial and non-commercial, and seemed to see that any sort of change would be like an erosion of privacy and a real lack of protection for those who have got home-based or small businesses. Many comments also said they felt that there was sufficient law and regulation in place to deal with obtaining disclosure if required through the courts and law enforcement. Those who were in favor of prohibiting the use of privacy and proxy services by those with commercial or financial activities really based this on the sort of prevention and investigation of crime. There didn't seem to be any other reason, well, that I could see. And most of the comments were made by individuals, I think, bar one, certainly in the section I had. So that's kind of it at the moment. I do know for this section there are two other questions to go with it, but we haven't been able to do those yet. So that would be something else that we would be reporting on another time. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions for Lindsay? I see Kathy has her hand up. So go ahead. And by the way, if people are not in the Adobe room, just speak up and we'll get you in the queue. Kathy, go ahead.
Terrific. Can you hear me, please?
Yes.
Terrific. I'm from Skype. Okay. I have a question for Lindsay, and it's actually the same question I raised on the sub-team list yesterday, which is whether all of the comments coming in from saved domain privacy were included. We have about 11,000, and among them is the principle of the use of privacy services by all, you know, that they support, that signatories support the use of privacy services by all for all legal purposes, regardless of whether the website is commercial. And that would seem to run to this question one. So I just wanted to check in on that, with my apologies to my sub-team since I've been traveling so much. Thanks.
No problem. As far as I know, the way that sort of the questions and the comments were set up, they were split out this time. So for question one, all the comments that related to that were put in one table, and then those that related to question two were put with question two. That's my understanding. That was done by staff. So I've taken it as read that all the comments that we have here are in relation to those questions, and we haven't missed any out. But I couldn't say for
that. Let me ask. That would go from 85 then to 11,000. I mean, it wouldn't be 85 commenters anymore, right? It would be 11,000 if we've included that. 11,000.
Yes, and but as far as I know, this was set up by staff. And Mary, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. We were given this to look at as part of the group.
Sure.
And I say this is only question one. Question two and three, I think, had even more comments. But this was just in relation to 1.3.3. However, many other comments there were in total with regard to the whole report. Yeah, there may well have been 11,000, but we've only taken on board these ones at the moment. If there are others, there are any missing, then we would have to look at those as well.
Okay, I think we'll need to do that because I don't think they apply to the other ones.
Okay,
we have Mary in the queue and then Holly. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Kathy, Lindsay, and Terry. So, Kathy, I know this question came up in, I think, two of the sub-teams, and I think you probably haven't had a chance to see the response that I gave, but for the benefit of the rest of the working group who are on the call, just to repeat the presentation we made when we first presented the staff-prepared template, we did not include any of the petition-based submissions in any of these templates for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is that we believe it was for the working group to determine how they wanted to deal with these template-based submissions. So we haven't included them. And for the sub-teams, once they got going, once this question was raised, we made the suggestion that it may be best for each sub-team to determine how they believe the group should deal with these comments. So, for example, as you pointed out, there are some comments that are directly specific to a topic taken on by a sub-team. So it may be appropriate for that sub-team to say, you know, 11,000 signatories or you know, 500 emails were sent in on this point. But the staff did not believe that was a decision for us to make, so it's probably timely that you brought this up. So if that helps the rest of the working group to know what's included on these templates and what is not, hopefully that will take the discussion forward. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Mary. I've got Holly. Kathy, is that a new hand or an old hand? Well, I'll put myself in the queue after Holly. So, Holly, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. It's a response to Kathy, too. Kathy, I've been I looked at least at the individual submissions, and there's only about 35 pages and 50 probably lots each. A lot of them are very repetitive. So what's important about them, I suppose, is to note that you could probably summarize, you could say, look, probably, what, 30 times 50 or whatever, three quarters of those would be a very, either saying no, not ever, or only allow this if there is a legal process or something. So I think it's worth taking note of the vast number of submissions that have been made. I think it's, if you go through them, it's easy to summarize, but I'd certainly agree with you, we need to understand that that particular response, it was a huge one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Holly. I guess this is Steve. I put myself in the queue just to make two points. First, I think we need to recognize and remind ourselves that this is not a plebiscite. This is not an election. This is not voting. We are not vote counters. We're trying to get comments on recommendations that we made. In this case, this one probably comes closer to being a plebiscite because we didn't have a unified recommendation. We had two views, and we asked the public what they thought. But vote counting is not what this exercise is about. So let me just—I just wanted to put that on the table to begin with. Second, I guess since Kathy's in the queue, I'll direct to her the question of what it is in the. You stated there were 11,000 submissions. I think those were from RespectOurPrivacy.com, and I don't see anything in there about this topic directly. There was a petition signed by many others that was on SaveDomainPrivacy.org, most of whose sponsors are on this call, so they can probably answer this better. But there I do see a point that is relevant to 1.3.3, because one of the bullets in that petition was use of privacy services by all for all legal purposes, regardless of whether the website is commercial. I, the undersigned, support that. So I see that, but I don't see that in the other one. So if we are, to the extent we are counting, maybe you can clarify what you see in the other one in the RespectOurPrivacy.com machine-generated comments that are relevant to 1.3.3 directly. Thanks. I see Kathy. Kathy's next, and then I have Michaeli, Stephanie, and James.
Great. Thanks so much. My reference was to Save Domain Privacy and the 564 pages of signatures, which I believe adds up to about 11,000 signatures on that, which went directly to the point of question number one, which has to do with, you know, the differentiation of commercial versus non-commercial, and then the further differentiation if you buy that differentiation into financial transactions. And I think the answer is no from a number of signatories. And if you leave it out of the template, then you leave it out of the summary. Once you leave it out of the template that staff is preparing, which has done, you know, has been phenomenal, right? Mary, you've done an amazing job. But once you leave out 11,000 signatures, I don't think it's a vote counting. I think there are submissions from people. I think it's important that they be in the template and included. I don't think you have to do 11,000 lines, but I think you have to say that 86 to 11,086 or whatever the number is, people had a bullet point that said they don't want this differentiation. It's got to be a critical part, a critical factor in our evaluation now. Thanks so much.
Kathy, can I just ask you to answer my question, which is what is it in the RespectOurPrivacy.com petition that relates to 1.3.3? Can you point me to that?
Yeah, Steve, going back again, I'm talking about the Save Domain Privacy petition. I think Respect Our Privacy is going to run a lot more to Annex Subteam 3 and Annex C. So you're right. I'm not sure I see a link between, although I certainly haven't read all those individual submissions. My reference is directly to Save Domain Privacy. Thanks so much for the clarification.
Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Michaeli, go ahead.
Thanks, Stephen. Michaeli for the record. Now, I'll keep this very, very brief. I have huge issues with the way that the comments that were submitted are being characterized as machine-generated. Machine-generated means that it was generated by a machine without human interaction. like a bot. If anybody submitted a comment in during the comment period, either manually or via any website, regardless of which website it is, it cannot be considered to be machine-generated. And referring to those comments as machine-generated is offensive to users who actually took the time to submit a comment. Also, referring to the comments, the submissions from in excess of 20,000 people as if they should just be completely dismissed is also highly offensive. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Michele. I'm sure you may be offended by people saying that 20,000 comments should not be considered, but I don't think anybody on this working group has said that. So that's kind of outside the scope of this working group.
Steve, with all due respect, referring to them as being machine-generated is being done in a dismissive tone.
Okay, Michele, let me get to that. I take your point that people who did click on those sites, you could make the argument that those were not machine-generated comments. So I take that point. I have Stephanie and then James.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello, hello. Good. Okay. I wanted to raise a couple of points. I think that actually saying that people hooped on those sites is leading us down a very interesting path of whether any kind of consent through click-through is worthwhile. So I'll keep that in mind for future discussions on consent. But I just wanted to raise the point that when we talk about public consultation with ICANN, for those who do not live and breathe ICANN, and that would be most of the world, the method of obtaining comments is not really any more adequate. And I think it should be noted that an effort was made to reach out to the average user here, and it came up with profoundly overwhelming response. This is a huge response by anybody's standards of people who actually cared enough to bother to comment. So there should be two lessons drawn. Number one, ICANN should do what standards organizations do when they have a public comment period and advertise in the appropriate areas to ensure that people who care are actually aware of what ICANN's doing. And number two, we need to take these things quite seriously. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. James, go ahead. James Cannon. James, you may be on mute. James? All right. Well, pending, we'll keep James in the queue. I think Kathy has her hand up also. Go ahead.
So Mary asked a question. I had to come up mute. So Mary asked a question in the chat room, you know, that staff will include these comments in the template if the working group decides. Can we, rather than fighting it out or fighting or discussing at length or sending 100 emails, in each sub-team, can we just go forward and say, yes, these belong in the appropriate sub-team? So state domain privacy clearly has a point in this sub-team, sub-team two, and respect domain privacy will have a clear point for Annex 3, Annex E about court orders, because that was part of their responses. Can we just agree that this belongs in there? Again, not 11,000 individual entries, but certainly a full summary, you know, full-blown summary and discussion of the number of people who responded and what they said. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. James, are you with us, or can you make your comment now?
Yes. Can you hear me now? I think you can.
Yes. Yeah. I can hear you. Go ahead, James.
Yes. So I just want to echo Michaeli's points on. Excellent. I just want to echo Michaeli's points on the characterization of the the large volumes of comments. Just because we have large volumes of comments and it's not mentioned, it doesn't mean that we can dismiss them or treat them any differently than we would from, say, the comments from the New America Foundation or the Open Technology Institute or the EFF or the Center for Democracy and Technology, who have also submitted comments. Yes, they were solicited comments, and they were comments that we were able to give input to the working group on, but they need to be treated as equal comments. Just because they are not coming from the traditional commenting groups within ICANN doesn't mean we can treat them in a different way. So I think one of the first things I have to say is that I understand where Mary came from with not wanting staff to make the decision on whether we should be including those petition-based comments within the analysis on specific questions, such as 133. But I think that we should be treating these comments the same way as we do any other comments, no matter what groups they're from. So I would suggest that we do go back and we have staff add the volume of comments back into the question-based sub-teams, and obviously as part of the No Question Left Behind subgroup as well, we'll be examining some of the underlying themes and possibly things that are not addressed under the existing sub-teams, and the ethos and the meaning behind why we got so many comments and why this is so important to so many people.
Thank you, James. Kathy, is that a new hand? I know you've intervened before, but are you in the queue now? Hold hand. Thank you. Val, go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to weigh in. I agree that these comments, you know, obviously were responding to petition. I don't think that they were machine-generated. But I do tend to agree that the campaigns which solicited these comments were, in my opinion, rather one-sided and short, misleading, really, summaries. I'm not sure how many of these commenters actually read the report, which, you know, at least in my view, for the 1.5 years that we worked on it, was attempting to balance all the various interests, and I viewed it as doing it fairly well. So it was kind of a shame that it seemed that so many people were really relying on kind of a very short, one-sided summary of what the report was, you know, representing, and really focusing on one issue that was really a minority view rather than the substance of the overall report. That's not to say that they should not be considered at all. I definitely think that we should consider all the comments, and I agree with Kathy that perhaps a majority of those comments submitted should be probably best appropriate to the evaluation of subgroup 3. Thanks.
Thank you, Val. I've got Todd and then Don. Todd,
I'll go quickly because Val just made a lot of the points I was going to make. I think, first off, I think the decision of how to incorporate these comments is more properly addressed by the different sub-teams, but since we're talking about it as a larger working group, I think we ought to distinguish between a kind of binary, do we consider them or not, and a, well, how much weight do we give to different comments? I think James had raised the question, why should we give more weight to a comment submitted from the EFF, for example? And I think my response, to echo what Val just outlined, would be to the extent that there is substance in the comment that demonstrates that the commenter read the report and is engaging with what's included in the report, I think it just makes sense to say that that deserves more weight. If I'm looking for a recommendation on a movie to go see, I'd much rather get it from somebody who has seen the movie. And I think, you know, that's not to say that you don't factor in comments that don't on their face include any indication that they didn't read the report. It's just the weight to be given them ought to vary accordingly. Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Don, welcome back. Glad to have you. Please go ahead if you have a comment at this point.
At least for this week. Appreciate it. And harking back to my days on Capitol Hill when we got postcards, particularly the response to Jeff's email to his customers. I kind of consider that an electronic postcard campaign. I think we need to note numbers, although we need to avoid the use of the term minority or majority, because then we get back into vote counts. My initial reaction to them, though, was something along the lines of what Vicky and Val said, particularly Mark's characterization in his email was far from accurate. That concerns me in the sense of evaluating the responses. On the other hand, I read some of the comments that were written out, and some of them were based on premises that were far from accurate or clearly controlled by biases without regard to any balance that we put in our document. So as a result, I hesitate to get into a value judgment. And by the way, I think a lot of the commenters did not read the report. They may have read the executive summary. They may have picked and chosen. But my instinct from a number of the comments is that they didn't read everything. So while my gut instinct is to say I have severe problems with the postcard campaign, given the reality of even some of the more formal comments, I think we're in trouble if we try to differentiate the value of the comment. We certainly don't want to read and comment on all 11,000 things that say the same, but we need to give them the same weight or courtesy, whatever, as we do any of the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. That's very, very thoughtful comments there. And I think in your last statement, there's a question of weight and there's a question of courtesy. I think the question of courtesy is without question. We should be considering these. Let me see. I've got Val. Is that an old hand or a new hand? It's an old hand, evidently. Okay. I'm going to see if we can close the queue here. I have Mary, Stephanie, and Phil. And then maybe we can try to sum up where we are on this and move on to anything from the other sub-teams as well as the public comment tool. So go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Steve. Really quickly, I just feel the need to emphasize that staff did not mean to exclude any comment or anyone, and that this discussion is precisely the reason why we did not include for the time being, anything in the public comment tool. Some of you may recall that when we first presented the tool, we did have a section that we had not yet filled in that was for general comments or other statements about the report, and that is where we had intended that pending the working group's decision, some of these comments could fit. But as I've said in the chat, we're, you know, obviously dependent on the decision of the working group, and it seems that now we have the sub-teams to decide how to treat those comments when they're relevant. The other point I wanted to make is that there's different ways that the contributions were solicited. At least two different initiatives did it quite differently and provided different information, and that's another reason why we did not feel we could either distinguish or include or exclude based on staff decisions. So thanks very much for letting me say that.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, Stephanie and Phil. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Just 2 points. I'll try to be quick. The first one is whether or not they actually read the report seems to me irrelevant. We're not running a literature exam here where if I catch you with evidence didn't read Bleak House, I can mark you down. This is comment on the issues, and if they only read the executive summary, that's fine. It's a 100-page report. I think that to weight these comments as if they don't know what they're talking about is very dismissive, and I'm going to go through the 11,000 and see if I can find a few names like Michael Flumkin. I dare you to say he doesn't know what he's talking about. The second issue is that I think in terms of the allegations that the issue was presented in a biased way, we've already heard that, you know, when we present to our different stakeholder communities, let's face it, we don't generally present the other guy's views. We present our own and the views of a stakeholder community. I think that's well understood in the multi-stakeholder realm. And I would just like to say that the thing that still sticks in my throat is the way we presented at the last minute a year-old report on the commercial use of domain names back in May, without saying or without positioning that legal analysis in any way. And in my view, and to the view of many of my stakeholders, that is totally outside the remit of ICANN to comment on how governments regulate electronic commerce. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, Phil Corin for the record. I was trying to restrain myself from commenting, but finally I broke down. I think to me, and like Don, I once worked on Capitol Hill, and I've been involved with issues that generated, you know, mass input on both sides of the issue to Congress, various issues, and there's always a debate about whether it's real grassroots or whether it's manufactured AstroTurf. But I think what we need to keep in mind here is that this, you know, massive concern that's evidenced by the 11,000 or 20,000 or however many comments, regardless of whether we think they were fully, all of them were fully informed, it's kind of irrelevant. It's a political fact for the future of this report. On one hand, I don't think we should, you know, say, okay, that's it. There's a lot of people opposed to anything we're recommending. We should just fold our tent and go home. On the other hand, we've got a senior official of the Global Domains Division who was quoted in the press as saying that these people are stakeholders. We had the current CEO asked about this issue by several members at a congressional hearing and saying if there's no consensus, it won't go forward. So I think we just need to be sensitive that there's a lot of folks out there with strong concerns and be very careful that whatever our final recommendations are, we can justify them to the board, because the board's going to make the ultimate call on adopting this after the stakeholder groups, and we just have to deal with this as a political fact of life, regardless of what any of us individually think of the merits of either side of the argument. So that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, I was trying to close the queue. We have two hands up from two members of the sub-team, and I do not want to cut them off. So I have Kathy and Lindsay. Please go ahead.
Hi. Great. Kathy, just I put it in the chat room as well, and I think this is really basic. I don't think the sub-team should be spending their time arguing about whether to list the set of comments in the template. They all belong in the template. And it would be great if we could just agree on that. Otherwise, we'll spend 100 emails in sub-team. They belong in there. How we weight them is a different story. That's the discussion for the sub-team, not whether to include them in the first place. So I just add a new line to the template. As different sub-teams are already adding, because things were left out, different comments were left out, I think we've left something out. We'll add a new line to bring them in. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Lindsay, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, this is Lindsay. As a member of the sub-team, it's taken quite some time to go through the comments that we had and put them together like that. If we're talking about, and I don't think we should leave anything out, but if we're talking about adding in maybe another 11,000 comments, I'm just wondering if we should have some more volunteers to help us with this, because otherwise we're never going to finish this or have recommendations in time to fit the timescales that we've been given. Where do you draw the line? I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't include comments, but that's a lot to go through. Thanks very much.
Yes, you've raised a good practical question, Lindsay. So let me try to draw this together. This is Steve. I think we should ask the sub-team to give its recommendation about how these other comments should be reflected. I want to thank the sub-team for the work that they have done so far. And I think actually it has really moved the ball quite a long ways. And let me ask the sub-team to think about two other things, too. One is, now this is not a plebiscite and it's not a vote, but we do, in the 87 or so comments that are in these documents that we've looked at, the trend is quite clear among those as to the answer to the question. No matter how you count these other mass comments that we've been talking about, they don't come in down on the other side. So we may have enough here to be able to see what the public thinks about this issue of whether commercial entities engaged in commercial transactions should be prevented from using privacy proxy services. If that is the case, I guess I would just ask the sub-team to think about whether you even need to go into questions 2 and 3, because those all depend on having an answer to one that is positive, I think. The question is, should the commercial entities engaged in commercial transactions be barred from using these services? Then you have to get into, if the answer is yes, then you have to get into the question of what's the definition. And so it's possible that we don't need, if we detect a clear trend here, we don't need to go to the next question. I just want to ask the sub-team to think about those points, as well as the point about how these mass comments should be reflected in the documentation here, which I think is what we've spent a lot of time talking about. So with that, let me thank Terry and Lindsay and the other sub-team members. I think you've really done a great job here of moving the ball forward. Let me just ask briefly, I know it is not time for a full report from either of the other sub-teams, but let me just ask, Holly and Todd are here from the sub-team 3. If you guys have anything that you would like to report on your status or your progress, this would be the time to do that.
Sure. This is Todd Williams for the transcript. Thanks, Steve. I'll go quickly. Our sub-team has divided the comments that we are reviewing into generally three categories, those that accepted the premise of Annex E, namely that disclosure can sometimes happen, though with certain processes, and then from there went to what those processes ought to involve and require, and whether what's outlined in the disclosure framework meets that. And then the second being those comments that did not accept the basic premise that either disclosure or publication could ever happen absent a court order. And essentially we'll provide a summary next week of who argued for each of those, what their arguments were, and then in the first, like I said, what kind of changes, if any, they would recommend to the disclosure framework. And then there's a third of just kind of general comments that we're not quite sure what to make of. But in any event, we'll present a report next week that will go into more detail for each of those. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Todd. Holly, if you have anything to add, you're welcome to do so.
No.
Okay. Thank you. We'll look forward to that report. And then on sub-team 4, I saw in Paul's apology note that it did not seem as though that sub-team has gotten very far yet. I see Kathy is the co-convener, and she is here. Kathy, is there anything you wanted to report on sub-team 4, or shall we just await that for a future meeting?
Mostly wait it for a future meeting, but again, the knowing what the sub-teams are including and not including is going to be, important for, this catch-all, sub-team 4. So, actually, let me ask a question to sub-team 3, whether they think they'll be adding all of the individual comments that came through on lack of a court order. Not the petition in this case, but the individual comments that did come through the website and we'll call it the template. Do you think you'll be including that, or does that get tossed to sub-team 4?
So this is Todd. When you say including, I mean certainly the report that we will present to the working group next week. I said there would be a paragraph that discusses those comments that rejected the premise of Annex E, and certainly the comments from the petition that you're describing will be included in that analysis. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not, though.
Okay, great. So Mary can go ahead and put them in the template then, because they're not in there now.
I don't quite understand what adding them to the template or not.
Why don't we leave that for the subteam?
I don't
You're a member of the subteam also, so hopefully you can engage in a discussion when there's a document to respond to. Don, is that an old hand or a new hand? Holly, is that a new hand?
New hand, yeah.
Now, Holly, go ahead.
Yeah,
and
just to add to
get back to
just
Don,
to
yes.
This is Holly for the records. Just to add to the comment, Kathy, we're looking at grouping all of the comments that made saying no reveal except through a court process, or no reveal except through a subpoena, or no reveal except through, with the indication that there must be some kind of legal process, and it's phrased differently. But we were thinking about just saying X number said we reject the annex, and because really the only, and then we had to, there's a sub process. What do we mean by law enforcement? How do we fit that in? But the one category is just specifically no except for, and then there are several ways that people have phrased, but the way you'd summarize that would be except through, say, a court process, whether that's a warrant, a subpoena, a court decision, or whatever. But instead of listing each of those comments, just grouping them together so we have a feeling for how many people have that similar view. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's going to wrap us up about the subteams. Our next agenda item is on the public comment review tool version 1, which has been out for a couple of weeks now, and we asked people explicitly on the call last week and since last week to flag any items that they've seen in there that they think need discussion within the working group. So let me just, obviously, since we're short on time here, we probably won't be able to have any of that substantive discussion, but let me ask people for those issues that they have identified from the review tool version 1 part 1 that they think need to be addressed. Are there any topics that people have flagged for the working group from this document? Okay, hearing none, we'll, as I understand it, Mary, you're going to be putting out the next phase, the next chunk of this document, the public comment review tool, getting to the other questions that were posed in the draft report. Can we expect to see that this week, or what would be the time frame for that?
Thanks, Steve. Yes, the intention is to get it out this week, and obviously I think it will be in a separate document because this one is already 85 pages. It would be in the same format, and it would deal with our recommendations from number 10 onwards, excluding those that are already dealt with by the subteams. So that will be a separate document with a separate date. And I just wanted to raise one general note about this review tool. And as you noted, Steve, this has been out since the 20th of July, so hopefully working group members are finding the time to at least go through it, because we really do need to decide as a working group how you want to respond to these comments. But the general comment I had for now is that going through this tool again, after the formation of the subteams, it strikes me that some of the comments that contributors had put into certain sections. For example, even in this definitions and labeling section, there were some comments that could be relevant to one or more of the sub-teams. So I'm happy to assist the sub-teams to go through this to see if there are things that maybe should be moved from this document to their documents, but I didn't want to do this before the group had had a chance to review the tool as a whole. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Mary. I would agree, having in my review of this, there are a number of comments here that may not be directly relevant to the questions that are posed and perhaps best addressed somewhere else, but in some cases it's kind of hard to figure out where they will need to be addressed. All right, so I'll just reiterate what Mary said. This has been out for 2 weeks. We need to look at these questions and bring forward any topics that need to be addressed, and we will have hopefully a complete document of that, again, excluding the things that are addressed by the sub-teams by the time of our call next week. The last few minutes here, we need to turn to some administrative items, in particular the possible face-to-face meeting and possible 90-minute calls. Now, there's been a doodle poll, and as I see it, four people who responded said that they thought a face-to-face meeting would be useful or necessary. 10 people said they weren't they checked the yes in parens box, and I'm not quite sure what that signifies. Two said they did not think such a meeting would be necessary. I mean, that, and I will say that the majority of people, if there were such a meeting, would try to participate in person or remotely, which is good. But on the question, I guess I'd just open the floor for any other thoughts on this. I don't see this as a groundswell of support for having a face-to-face meeting, but let me ask if anybody on the working group has any comments to offer on that. Okay, hearing none. I see James. James, I'm sorry. James, go ahead.
Hi, James Gunn. I would actually read the poll slightly differently, personally. I think people are a bit tired and slightly burnt out already. And I think the yes, if needed, checks are okay if we have to. And I think as we get into analyzing the comments, it's going to be more of a, yeah, we will probably have to. And if you actually look as well, if you kind of combine that, as you said, with the fact that all the people who said yes in parentheses, most of them also said yes, they would plan to attend in person if it was held before the Dublin meeting. So I think my read of it anyway personally would be that we should go ahead with the planning for it, unless we have some amazing groundswell of change where we all come to magical consensus by next week. I think it'll probably be a requirement by the time we get to October.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, James. Other comments on this? Yeah, my feeling is that you know, if we're still debating these questions of what goes in a template by the time we get to Dublin, then we have a bigger problem. Hopefully, but at that point, we will have an actual draft report that we will be going over. Again, I think that's the expectation, is that if there is to be a face-to-face meeting, it would be for that. But I agree with you. It's a little ambiguous because so many people said yes if needed, and you know, you can either interpret that as they don't feel the need yet, or you know, they may think it's coming. So, okay. Any other comments on this?
McKaylee,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's McKaylee for record. Just very, very quickly, when do we need to decide on whether we're going to have that Friday meeting or not? I mean, what are we looking at in terms of time frame?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I would ask the staff if they have any input on that, but I don't know the answer. I think...
I'm not suggesting that you did, Steve. It was more just along the lines of if somebody could frame that, because, I mean, you know, if we have to decide within the next week, it's a very different proposition to being able to decide, you know, within 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. I mean, personally, obviously for me, it's the only ICANN meeting that I'll probably ever attend where this isn't actually a major issue for me. It's a 25 euro train ticket return to Dublin.
So you're well situated. Mary,
for once.
Anything to add here?
Yes, and it's nothing new, but just to confirm that we are looking at Friday the 16th of October, so before, not after, the main ICANN meeting. Secondly, that the idea is that this would be a group face-to-face meeting like the one that was done in Los Angeles about a year ago. So unless the working group decides otherwise, this would really be an intensive working session just for the working group. Thirdly, that based on earlier conversations, the idea is that if you do have one, that it probably would not start till at least 11 a.m. or maybe 11:30 or noon Dublin time to accommodate those who are coming in overnight. And lastly, as Graham noted, yes, we would love for you to decide ASAP, in part because for those who are going to be supported by ICANN for travel, I believe the due date is either the end of this week or early next. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I have a new hand, Steve, sorry.
It's a new hand. Okay, Michaela, go ahead.
No, just very, very briefly, just two things. One, I believe there's a leadership training thing being held for at least part of the week preceding the ICANN meeting. I have no idea who's actually attending it from which groups, but I suspect that some people who are on this call probably will be. Secondly, while I appreciate that if there's going to be a face-to-face meeting, people would like to have it start later in the day, I'd actually counter that, though, by saying that starting earlier in the day might be a bit better, because if there is a face-to-face meeting in Dublin, I would only be able to attend up until, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And I suspect others might be in a similar position because we have other commitments on the Friday afternoon. But having said that, I found the face-to-face meeting in L.A. Useful and very productive. Thanks.
Thanks, Michaela. Yeah, we know from experience there's no perfect timing in terms of scheduling a meeting at an ICANN event. All right, let me just – we have 1 minute left. Let me just say on the Doodle poll about extended calls, half of those who answered said they do not support this. As far as if we do have extended calls, whether they should start earlier or go later, that was pretty much evenly split. I guess a very slight preference to start earlier. I think at this point in the process, we're probably better served by people taking that half hour and using it to go over the public comment tool before the call. And being able to surface issues that I think the working group needs to address, because we haven't surfaced any of those. And, of course, all of you who are working on subteams are very busy with that. I'm quite well aware of that. But that's where a lot of the work is being done, at least at this stage. So at least for next week, I think we won't be having an extended call. We'll keep that option open for future weeks. But subject to being corrected by my co-chair, I think we can assume that the call on August 11th will be at our normal time. Are there any other? Holly has her hand up, and Holly will give you the last word.
It's just a plea. We need a decision. ICANN, for those of us who are being supported, ICANN wants a decision yesterday, but certainly by Monday. We have to let them know for travel arrangements. Are we going to have a meeting or not? And the decision hasn't been made. So what is it going to be made before Monday?
Well, yeah. Let's Graham and Mary and I will need to caucus here and see whether we can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. ICANN travel is down our necks for an answer. So yeah. I need an answer.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. We are now past our hour. I want to thank everybody for their participation. Thanks again, particularly for the subgroups, for the progress that you've made. And we will all be together again a week from today. Thank you.
Thank you.